And now, overlooking Scottsdale from high above in the Camelback Tower, the Scottsdale Chamber of Commerce Podcast. Local business leaders, business topics, events, and everything Scottsdale. And now here's your host, the president and CEO of the Scottsdale Chamber of Commerce, Mark Stanton.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another wonderful Scottsdale Area Chamber of Commerce podcast. And we are experiencing another Chamber of Commerce day in Scottsdale. Incredible weather as we enter the fall season. And in the fall season, a lot of people think of back to school, and they think about getting kids ready for the year ahead, and we're well into the school year. And education is such a vitally important part of the economic development landscape for every community and throughout the state and the country. And it's a priority to the Scottsdale Area Chamber of Commerce. And we are very fortunate today to have a special guest, the co-founder and chief academies officer, Dan Scoggins from Great Hearts Academies. Dan, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Mark, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. And I have to say that obviously we pre-recorded this, but we got breaking news. We've got late breaking news. So Dan, give us the news.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. We're just so happy about the recent public test scores that have come out. The state, you know, tracks accountability ratings for every public school in the state. And two big data points I wanted to share with your audience. Number one, Great Hearts as a network, the Great Hearts Academies nonprofit charter school network, had the highest aggregate test scores of any school network in the state. And then the number one public school on the recent academic performance ratings in the whole state was Archway Lincoln out of 3,600 schools, a K-5 Great Hearts school down in Gilbert. And we're just Toyin Altagabe, the headmaster there, and all the staff were just overjoyed and delighted with their team efforts, performance, and how the young children just stepped up and just performed at that high level.
That is awesome news. Thank you for sharing it, and how proud you must be of the entire organization. And it speaks volumes to the way Great Hearts has blossomed and has become such a great success story. So thank you for sharing that news.
Thank you.
You know, let's talk a little bit about a Great Hearts student. What does a Great Hearts student look like? What's the profile? Give us an idea of who is a Great Hearts student.
Yeah, well, we chose the name Great Hearts, Jay Heiler and I, the co-founder, and I chose that name for a very distinct reason for the organization we started 20 years ago, because we think, Mark, that education is fundamentally about the heart, shaping a student's desires for things that are greater than themselves, truth, goodness, beauty, our culture, the family. Theodore Roosevelt, a president, the turn of the last century, you all know who he is, he had once said that to educate a man, his mind but not his morals, is to create a menace to society. So we don't want just brilliant kids. Yes, we want brilliant kids that can do wonderful skill-based things, can do well on test scores like the test scores we just performed on, but ultimately it's about shaping their character for things beyond themselves, things that are hard, things that are lasting and true. And so that's why we chose the name Great Hearts, because your heart will lead you in life. We all know that as we grow into adulthood, we sense that our heart really is our barometer, our North Star of how we will live a good life.
Wow. Very powerful. And I have to say, in all transparency, I am a fan because I'm a Great Hearts parent. I've got two children. My wife, Barbara, and I have two children at Great Hearts Veritas, our seventh grader and a freshman in high school. And so we've been consumers, and we've seen it firsthand how that shaping of a student is.
Well, we're
is
glad
so
to
hard.
Have your trust. You yep. know, we serve the family, and to have, you know, it's a just a sacred obligation that we have to do our very best for your family, and we're glad to have your kids there, Mark, and thanks to Barbara for trusting us as well.
Well, I appreciate that and appreciate all you're doing for all of your students. And when we talk about a classical liberal arts curriculum, how does that shape up, and how does that translate to the classroom?
Yeah, so classical liberal arts curriculum, that's what we offer at Great Hearts. There's a 3,000-year tradition to a classical liberal arts education. And you think of that word classic, like a classic car, which is a different application of the word. It's like the best. What's lasting? What stands the test of time? And we think that's the great books, literature, philosophy, and history of the Western tradition, advanced math and science, going all the way back to, you know, the ancient Greeks and how they approached geometry and Euclid. And then the arts. Poetry, music, a love of theater, to produce well-rounded children, young men and women. And that sense of liberal comes from the Latin word liberalis, which means free. So a free person needs to be able to think deeply, love great things, be able to solve problems, be able to talk with their fellow citizens about what is the best solution for this life. So this is the type of grounded education. It's not utilitarian. Its first goal is not to just produce an outcome. Yes, that comes in time, but it's to train the inner person to be fully realized as their best version of a human being.
I think that's a noble focus and important. And I will tell you, a couple of years ago, I had the pleasure to meet Jamie Cassip, who is considered, he'd been with Google, their education evangelist. And he came to the chamber and he talked about how it's not asking children what they want to be when they grow up. It's asking what kind of problems they want to solve. And it sounds to me the way you're looking at that, developing the more holistic view of a child and not just about a performance on a report card, but the bigger picture. I applaud that, and I think that's important. When you talk about Great Heart students and how, so you've got all the way from elementary to middle school to high school. As they move on, you've been around for 20 years, so it's not like you're a new concept, yeah. Right? You've proven the concept. How does that translate to college admissions? How does that translate to the students that go through the Great Hearts education?
Yeah, well, colleges really want our Great Hearts graduates. We get to your point, we are K-12. We serve 26,000 students between Arizona and Texas and 16,000 kiddos here in Arizona. We start in kindergarten, but the whole point is to graduate seniors, those great-hearted 12th graders who then go on to colleges and universities and then on to the workforce after that. And we're thinking about those things from the very origin of our education. But our kids are getting into the best colleges and universities in the land. They're highly recruited. I think our take last year was over $25 million in earned scholarship money for our graduating class, SAT and ACT scores that are way above the national averages. And we're public schools. You know, anyone can apply to Great Hearts. We're open-doored and open-hearted, so there's no admissions criteria. But as you know from your own senior son, the kids work really hard at Great Hearts, and that hard work pays off. And they do great on standardized tests, SAT and ACT. But most of all, colleges want our kids. We hear this again and again from college counselors and admissions officers. Because our kids can think, they can write, and they can work with others. They come ready to listen just as much to speak. They come ready to solve problems, as you were indicating, and really look at kind of the meta issues, the philosophical issues behind the problems, instead of just trying to come up with an easy fix or a short-term solution.
And I think that reflects in, from my experience, but also looking at how you manage language and you encourage and you have Latin as a requirement.
Yep.
I will never forget the dinner table conversation where my son and daughter were conducting a dialogue in Latin. My wife and I felt a little bit out of place, but I applaud that because, you know, it expands their minds. You know, you mentioned about admissions and how you're open-hearted and open. You're a public charter program. How does that work with tuition, and how does that work in relationship to a traditional public school?
Yeah, well, we view ourselves as a public school. We're a public school of choice. We're not just sort of the assigned school near your house. We're a school where the family intentionally chooses a classical liberal arts curriculum. But there's no admissions criteria and no tuition to attend a Great Hearts Academy. And we love that. You know, there's families that would never have the means to seek a private, you know, classical liberal arts education. You know, those tuition price points are lofty, but not for Great Hearts. We're for all kids. We have a school in Maryvale, in West Phoenix, that just graduated its first senior class this last year. Many of these families are first-generation college-going families, and to see those kids receive those Great Hearts diplomas, man, it was one of the best moments in our history. So we're for everyone, and we're increasingly attracting a more diverse socioeconomic base of students from all different backgrounds that want this classical liberal arts approach.
And you mentioned the size. How many students are enrolled currently, and how many campuses do you have?
Yeah, so all told, we have 42 campuses between Arizona and Texas. You know, 26 of those are here in just the metro Phoenix area, all the way from Anthem to Gilbert and places in between. And each school has approximately 500 or 600 kids on it. And we'll have lower schools with a headmaster that's a K-5. usually in a contiguous campus with a 612 prep school, and the students matriculate between the two schools, and many stay for all 13 years. That's quite a journey with us.
Well, it's not an easy journey.
No,
I'm talking for my
son. The kids work hard.
They work hard, but they get a lot of benefit from that. What about future growth? Where does Great Hearts go? Does it further expand in the metropolitan area in Maricopa County? Are you looking at other states besides Texas? What's the future? What are you seeing for Great Hearts?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Mark. So we're opening a school in Baton Rouge, Louisiana right now. It's going to be open in August of 23. And then we're growing into Florida as well. So continued growth here in Arizona. There's many more parts of the valley we'd like to serve, and even places beyond Metro Phoenix. And then Texas. Texas is a big state. I think the Texans, view it as a country unto itself. So many places to grow there. And then in those other states. And we're also looking for other states to grow. So our near-term plan is to grow from about 26,000 kids to 42,000 kids over the next 3 or 4 years.
Wow, that's ambitious. That's powerful.
We also have Great Hearts Online, which is serving kids in Arizona and Texas and any part of the state. And we also have micro schools, small learning pods that are supported by Great Hearts Online. So we're looking to diversify and find flexible new ways to serve families with this classical approach.
That's outstanding, and I think a lot of the lessons that we've learned over the past few years show the value of that engagement of technology and in the micro school. So I applaud that. That's important for the community. When you're looking at the holistic view of the child, developing the child, the child's heart, and goals. We talked a lot about academics and what that means and the rigor and that it's not all about grades. It's all about development. Tell me about sports and extracurriculars. What's the vibe? What's the culture in a Great Hearts Academy?
Yeah, well, a lot of charter schools don't even try sports. We really invest in our athletic programs. And, when you think of the ancient Greeks, it wasn't just mind and philosophy, but it was really the whole person, their body too. So, we think a young man, a young woman really finishes their education on the basketball court, on the volleyball court, on the football field, because that's where they learn how to compete. They learn competitive intelligence in connection with virtue, how to do that well, how to work together, how to achieve a goal over a season, over many practices, and how to, really compete in a true sportsman, integrous way as they do. I think sometimes high school sports have been hollowed out from virtue, and it's just for a small kind of segment of kids that are going on for elite scholarships. But, many, many of our kids compete. About half of our high school kids play at least one varsity sport a year. And we get to state volleyball, football playoffs. We had 4 teams in the volleyball playoffs recently, and 3 football teams make the 1A and 2A. Four teams make the 1A and 2A football playoffs. So we compete. I think we can do better, and I think we need more resources to do better, because it's hard on our limited budgets and limited kind of gyms and field capacities at our campuses to take it to the next level, but we have more work to do there.
What about theater and engagement and debate? What other activities do you offer?
Yeah, well, every young man and woman, it takes 2 years of drama at our schools, and they can't take like a technical role behind the stage. They all have to get out there and perform Shakespeare and Ibsen and Tolstoy and all these great plays. So they learn how to, the confidence of speaking well and being up on stage. We have Mark in our high school classes in 9th through 12th grade. Every day starts with a 2-hour Socratic seminar. It's called Humane Letters. It's really the anchor course at Great Hearts. I taught it for a number of years in my background. The students come in. There's about 22 kids in a class around a large table, seminar table, and they come in and they discuss Plato, Aristotle, Austin, Frederick Douglass. You name it. These great classics, and what that text is saying about what it means to be a human being. What is justice? What is friendship? And they look at each other and they discuss ideas. And they correct each other with dignity and humanity, and they learn how to speak and listen to solve problems together about human dignity and philosophy. And it's the best gig in American high school education, and every Great Hearts kid gets it for 4 years.
That's outstanding, and I'm seeing it now with my son going into high school. Yeah, take me back to when you and Jay Heiler got the vision. So when, I mean, that's 20 years ago, the state had adopted an expanded education format that included the development of charter public schools. Tell me about that, how, you know, you're sitting around having a sandwich and said, we got an idea. how did it come to fruition?
Yeah, well, you know, Jay Hyler worked for our friend Fife Simonton, who was the governor at the time that we were just talking about that, Mark, who really had a vision for, you know, public school choice and making Arizona an epicenter of school choice, which it is today. It's the best school choice state in the country by far. And 22% of kids go to a charter school in the state now. And so Jay came from that background, and he met me. I was the headmaster of a classical liberal arts school called Tempe Prep, and we met another colleague named Bob Mulhern, who had a lot of real estate background. And us three got together and said we'd like to grow this, and worked with our board of directors back then to create Veritas Prep. And a colleague, Andrew Ellison, was the headmaster there, and we started. And then the Walton Family Foundation came to us and said, wow, look at these schools. They're really high-performing academically and culturally. Received a gift from the Walton Family Foundation of Walmart background, and we created a business plan to create, I think, 8 prep schools across Arizona at that time. We didn't even have the lower schools, and off we went. And it's just been, you know, kind of one learning after another, growing, leaning in with humility, and then just these beloved, wonderful teachers who want to work in classical education. One of the detractors we had back then said, oh, you'll never find the teachers. Teachers don't, that's a niche program, classical education. Well, right now we have 3,000 teachers working for Great Hearts, and we have an application to hire ratio of 6 to 1. Wow. Teachers around the country want to come work in these schools because of these beautiful kids in this classical program.
How proud you must be. What a great story. I mean, you guys were just kids yourselves when you came up with this plan.
Well, there's a lot more gray hair now. There's lots of challenges.
You know, Dan, one of the spaces that that the Scottsdale Area Chamber of Commerce looks at, I mentioned it at the outset, is connectivity to education and how the business community can help support the education process, how to engage in that process. And we're always looking for best practices to help ultimately build up the economy, support a workforce, create that workforce development. Tell me a little bit about how you and Great Hearts see that expanding and the development of that, because it's so critical to the next step.
Yeah. Well, we see ourselves as critical to building a strong workforce, not only through our teachers, but of course the graduates that we're putting out into the workforce. Many of them stay here in Arizona. Many stay in Texas and stay in their hometowns because of, you know, great universities like Arizona State University. There's a couple things that we really try to forge in our graduates, and they're doing it. They have a work ethic. They know how to work hard. They know how to be organized. I think that's an essential skill. You know, they know how to solve problems. You know, not only advanced math and science problems, real STEM at Great Hearts, but philosophical problems about the human condition and how, what do you, first things first, you know, if you're trying to solve a complex problem in a work environment, what's the most important thing? What's second? What's tertiary? They know how to do that. They know how to write. But above all, they know how to like interact with others because they've been in this active conversation about the human experience at Great Hearts. So, you know, when you meet one of our graduates, they are just unparalleled in their character. They're much better. I was a kind of an undirected, sloppy 18-year-old many years ago. And I'm just like, I wish I was like that. You know, I wish I had the work ethic and character and philosophical disposition that they have. They're way ahead. And colleges want them. And I think we know from kids who are now in their 30s who graduated from Great Hearts, they're just thriving, you know. And just one anecdote, many of them are coming back and leading Great Hearts schools.
Wow.
And teaching in our schools and sending their own kids, second generation Great Heartsers now coming up through the program and, you know, sending their own kids to our schools. And so that's just a big joy to see. It's that generational work.
Outstanding to see that you're working towards developing that workforce and that work ethic. How can businesses get involved? How can businesses be supportive?
Well, the business community has been huge. You know, our board of directors are wonderful businesswomen and businessmen that have made it possible. We're a nonprofit at all levels. There's no for-profit portion of Great Hearts in any way. So, you know, the business community supported us getting these schools open, including land donations, you know, and developers saying, hey, we want a Great Hearts school in our community because we raise property values. We want our families to have access to options. So that's a recent trend with Great Hearts. receiving these really kind of enlightened developer donations. Businessmen and women coming into our schools and speaking and supporting our schools. And, you know, one of the things we're really happy about is that employers around the country who, you know, who want to relocate businesses to Arizona. And, you know, Governor Ducey's been so good at that, right? He's just been such a leader in bringing, you know, new businesses and infrastructure and innovation to Arizona. What's the number one thing those employers want to know before they move to Arizona? Where do I send my kids?
Yep.
So we host a lot of tours of executives, businessmen and women coming to Arizona. Where am I going to send my kids? Well, let's send them to Great Hearts. And so we host those types of tours and are pleased to welcome them into the state that they know they can have a great place to go to school.
Well, it really is an economic driver and a magnet. You're absolutely right. I hear from businesses around the country that are thinking of relocating to the Valley, and that's always top on their mind. Mm. You know, what's the quality of life for students and education? And so you're definitely filling an important space there. You know, we talked about Great Hearts and the form of the Great Hearts. How do you guys come up with your mascots? How do you come up with, give me some behind the scenes. How does that work?
Yeah, well, we've been all over the map on those, but we try to, you know, choose something that sounds competitive that kind of goes with the school name, like the Lincoln Lightning. I think you're wonderful. Two kids go to the Veritas Falcons. Yep. So I would not say that it's there's a great formula. We have a lot of classical kind of mascots like Centurions and Spartans too. We have the Titans down at Chandler. But you know what's so fun is to watch these games where the Great Hearts High Schools compete with one another. They're ferociously competitive, but, you know, there's a lot of goodwill and pride, you know, that they share. And to see the families come together is a real joy.
Well, I think that's part of the experience, right? That spirit. And I see that with my my kids and others as well. Chief Academies Officer. Give us a snapshot. What does that mean? How do you fit in, and what's your leadership role of where Great Hearts is going?
Yeah, well, Jay's our CEO. He's just doing a wonderful job leading us. My job on his team is to operate the academy. So I work with the superintendents in both Arizona and Texas. They lead their regions, but make sure we're all on the same page of how we're running the schools and improving them. We have a well-known adage across Great Hearts: if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Complacency will not stand. We have a lot of work to do to get our schools better. And so just helping to drive that improvement process. And then another part of the work that I do, which I love so much, is the growth. Mm-hmm. So helping us grow into Louisiana and Florida and taking calls from other states. And then even looking at, can we grow into private schools, right? And there's some new laws here in Arizona due to the courage of our legislature and governor that I'm leading an exploration of how Great Hearts might create some, you know, low-cost, competitive private schools in this environment.
Well, I think that's a place of growth, and we applaud and excited to see where you and the team, Jay, and your whole crew will be taking Great Hearts, not only for, obviously, for the economic impact, which it does have, but for the quality of life that you're bringing to the students and to the community. And as a consumer of it, I can see it, and I applaud that. Finally, as you're kind of looking forward to the growth and great plans, there's a lot of change in education. There's a lot of moving parts, and we know that we're in an election cycle, and that's got its highs and lows, roller coaster type of thing. How do you see working with the elected leaders? And it sounds to me like you've had a great experience working with many in Arizona. How do you see that impacting the future of an organization like Great Hearts?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, it means everything. You know, the legislature and governor have given us the privilege and opportunity to serve families as a private nonprofit company, Great Hearts Academies, to have that charter, that right to do this work. Arizona is unparalleled. You go to other states, they don't have all the options. You know, families have lots of options, not only Great Hearts, but many other high-performing charter schools, district schools, even honors and magnet programs within, you know, the Arizona district schools. This is good. You know better than anyone, Mark. Competition is good. It keeps everyone honest and keeps everyone getting better. Arizona is that environment. And there's a lot of states that we've looked at around the country. It's not an open door because there's not the policy environment. And the one thing Great Hearts will never forget, and we think about it all the time, is we serve the family. We are only as good as yesterday. We're only as good as today. Did the child that we handed back to you, at the end of the day that you or your wife pick up after that school day? Is he or she a little bit better than when you drop them off? Are they a little bit smarter, a little bit more grounded? And that's everything to us. We can't forget that we serve the family. The family is the fundamental institution, and you guys decide. If we're not doing a good job, you should go somewhere else.
Well, that's I love it. That's an important aspect of what you've developed, and you should be proud of that and how that impacts all of us in the Valley and in Scottsdale. I'm grateful that you joined the Scottsdale Area Chamber of Commerce. We love having you on board. Your team, Maria, and the team are awesome to work with, and we're grateful for that. And we're as a business community, we're interested, we're involved, and we'll be there to work with you as you continue on your path to success.
Oh, thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for all the work you're doing and leading our business community.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Scottsdale Chamber of Commerce podcast. Business leaders, business topics, local events, and more. Join us next time for the Scottsdale Chamber of Commerce podcast on demand 24/7 right here on StarWorldWideNetworks.com.